This is the China Forum podcast for the On the Spot series. I'm Zhang Lirun. In recent years, the exploration and utilization of outer space has been accelerating. China has made great achievements, but it always stresses the importance of international cooperation. Based on mutual respect, openness and inclusiveness, equality and mutual benefit, it stands ready to work with other countries. Ditchley Foundation, a UK think tank, held a virtual conference in late January on the new space race and its intersection with power, the rules-based order, and the economy. It included speeches by four Chinese experts and scholars who introduced China's situation and stance, as well as the international governments of space exploration and possible Sino-American cooperation. Let's hear what they each had to say. Mr. Wang Cheng, Secretary General of the China Space Foundation, spoke about how China is peacefully exploring space.
Well, the first one is, I think the space technology is crucially important to face the problem of the global climate change and environmental protection, as we have talking about the global challenge here. That's not only for the reasons that the space for its, you know, globalization and its strategical characteristic. So it's very useful, and it's perfectly for the space to have the large-scale, multidimensional global observation. For example, like the Earth's geostationary orbit and the sun synchronicity orbit, as the optical one, microwave, and from 0.1 to a lot of dimension, meter dimension, Earth observation system, and also some of the global communication infrastructure. For example, like the Inmarsat, like the Starlink, that generally which will have a high cost to cover this, for example, the remote area for the ground communication system. And very importantly, of course, the PNT positioning, navigation, and timing infrastructure like GPS, GLONASS, and BeiDou. And all this infrastructure and system which they have built up and obtained for the information transfer system, you know, the time zone signals and the Earth's ecology data is very important for the disaster mitigation and to provide village to the normal people. And also, we can highly increase the public service of the government administration. So the space has the inevitable, very important role here. And secondly, when we have more emphasis on the capacity building, we need to care more about the open and co-sharing of the space resources and application. This is very important. In China, we not only build up relatively, you know, complete space infrastructure, including the telecommunication, broadcasting, navigation, Earth observation, deep space exploration, and the scientific test. And we have a kind of public service and the capacity open to the market. On the other hand, we take more emphasis to the application. And for example, in Chinese, we have China Meteorological Administration, the Ministry of the Natural Resources. We have the National Oceanic Administrations. We have the Emergency Management Ministry. We have the Ministry of the Environment Protections. And all this government, they have the relatively agencies responsible for the space resources operating, application, and offering the public service. And thirdly, we have the market body, for example, like the China Satellite Communication Group. We have the China Telecommunication Group. And these commercial companies, they are responsible for the commercial purchase of the space resource and offering the space business to satisfy the customer's requirement. And for CNSA, that is responsible for the government administration in space area, and for example, like the national programs utilization, like the Chang'e lunar exploration, deep space exploration, and we're drafting some of the policies to push the open and co-sharing of the space resources and international cooperation. And thirdly, I think the widely open international cooperation can save the resources, save the time very efficiently. And of course, it's very important use to shorten the gap between different countries and nations. We have the joint program, for example, like CANES, we have the CIFARSAT, and we have the SWARM, the two satellites, which focus on the oceanical and the science exploration. And the CIFARSAT, now they are in orbit operating. The data they obtained from the global oceanical change has been a very typical example for the global climate change for both China and France. And also, we have more than 30 years cooperation with Brazil to develop more than 5 satellites on the CBIRS series. We have free access to all the Asia, American, and African nations. And also, we have the cooperation program CSES with Italian Space Agency, which can, you know, offering the global electronic and magnetic environment detection. And for the earthquake, we had offering the free access to the data. And also, in 2019, the CNSA has jointly with the Global Earth Observation System, we offering totally global 16 meters resolution remote sensors image to all over the world. Previously, I think the CNSA had received the administrator of the NASA previously and asked them to visiting some of the space facilities in China. And at this time, we still have an official channel for the China-US in the civilian space dialogue here. And at the same time, I think China has set up several official channels, not only with the United States, but also with the European Space Agencies, NASA and the Brazil, and many space-faring nations. This is a very good way. I think we are open now here, not only for U.S., but also to the world.
Ms. Jiang Hui, Director of the Department for International Cooperation at the China National Space Administration, made it clear China will be more open for international cooperation in the years to come.
In the future, the Chinese government will continue to develop the space in all-round way. We will actively promote the improvement of the capacity of the space transportation system and further enrich and improve the remote sensing satellite system through three categories of meteorologic, oceanic, and land resources. And furthermore, we will carry out research in space astronomy and astrophysics, space geoscience, solar terrestrial space physics, and solar physics, and plan to accomplish the China space station around 2022. And we'll also continue to carry out Chang'e 6, 7, and 8 missions and work with the corresponding countries and international organizations to jointly study on establishment of International Lunar Research Station. China also has planned 3 planetary exploration missions, including space exploration and sample return mission, Mars sample return mission, and Jupiter system orbiting exploration and planet transfer exploration. By working together, can we pursue development, and only by win-win cooperation can we create a better future. So by now, China just keep a very open attitude to cooperate with other countries. They would like to exchange ideas, to have dialogue with the government from different countries. We just hope to have some good understanding. Sometimes when we talk with other countries' people, we just think, maybe we have the same consideration, but we are in different the thinking way, the different logical. So there are so many misunderstandings. So I hope that in the future, we can have more exchange and dialogue and cooperation.
Mr. Zhou Bo, Senior Fellow at the Center for International Security and Strategy, Tsinghua University, shared his opinion on whether China and the U.S. will ever cooperate in outer space or only compete.
China has constantly proposed its opposition to weaponization in outer space and arms race in outer space. Because of this kind of new threat, in 2015, China has made it clear in its defense white paper that the strategic task for the PLA includes safeguarding interest and security in the new security area, which includes outer space and the cyber. In terms of cooperation in outer space, militarily speaking, I believe that rather than what to do is what not to do. As I have mentioned, that China and Russia joined the table, the PPWT, I believe it's a step forward from the outer space treaty, because yesterday evening, it is even mentioned by some people, we only have about five small treaties regarding the space. For us to make progress, I think this proposal is a step in the right direction. Why do I say that? For example, in 1998, after India-Pakistan's nuclear tests, China and the United States quickly come into an agreement of not targeting its nuclear weapons at each other. Although this is symbolic, but it means a lot to the world. And this brought in the five permanent members of the U.S. Security Council into the similar agreement of non-detargeting. So with the common will, there could be a good results. And it's more important for me to point out that in China's proposal, this includes any weapons. So this is a step forward from the outer space treaties, right? What does these any weapons mean? It could mean co-orbital satellites that maneuver close to another satellite and then damage or destroy it with microwaves, chemical spray, or kinetic means, and ASATs that disable, destroy space satellites. Unfortunately, problem regarding outer space cooperation comes mainly from the United States. I'm not speaking that because we're now in a competitive relationship with the United States. I just want to point out the fact on two resolutions, that is prevention of an arms race in outer space. This was endorsed by 178 countries, but with only two countries in upper tension, that is Israel and the United States. The second resolution, no first placement of weapons in outer space. Again, 126 countries are in favor, with four against, including the United States. And the fact that the United States has established a space force would make peaceful use of outer space more remote, if possible at all. Then let me talk about this relation between China and the United States in outer space. The future of outer space, be it cooperative or competitive, depends very much on how China and the United States deal with each other. But as two members of the UN Security Council and the two largest economies, China and the United States should cooperate, and there is possibility of cooperation. Because after all, the United States has signed outer space treaty, and in 2010, the US-Russian New START nuclear arms control agreement prohibited either countries from interfering with the other side's, quote, national technical needs, unquote, or monetary compliance. The fact is, during Cold War, in spite of the bitter hostility of two archi-rivals, still, United States and the Soviet Union had a cooperation. They, China and the United States, are just competitors, right? And in China, we don't even talk much about competition. We still talk about a cooperation. But even in American definitions, we are competitors. We're not enemies. So why can't we cooperate still in this area? The point is, if you listen to Americans talking about a China-U.S. cooperation, they only mentioned that, okay, maybe in climate exchange we can cooperate. But this is about climate change. Why should we go to Mars? Because the climate might change on us. That's it. Therefore, I have five brief points. The first point is, it is in America's own interest to eradicate Wolf Amendments, which handicap the two countries' farm cooperation. This is self-evident. So why should they do that? Because what is the purpose of a Wolf Amendment? Indeed, China's progress. Apparently, it hasn't. China can develop independently, right? Same is with the so-called Dealey Amendment in 2000 or so, which restricts American military exchanges with the PLA in 12 areas, including space. But what has happened? If you look at the parade in Tiananmen Square, you know how the PLA has developed by leaps and bounds, at least in terms of weaponry. So it hasn't been able to work in that way. Second, we should resume dialogues in outer space. This started in 2015 during Obama administration and has lasted for three meetings. Then the third, of course, we should make joint efforts in exploration of Mars. Chinese Mars probe will probably arrive, hopefully will arrive, around 10th of next month. So that would raise a question. Why should China do it alone? Right? Because we have no private interest or self-interest in Mars. we should do this in a cooperative manner. This is self-evident. I don't want to elaborate. Fourth, is the probability that countries might take sides, you know, in outer space. In the Asia-Pacific, people say, we don't want to take sides with China or the United States. But in outer space, especially with the prospect that in 2022, China will become the country that has established its own space station, while in 2024, the US-led International Space Station might be obsolete. So what would happen then? Would China even allow Americans to take Chinese side? Or, if yes, what kind of conditions? Or would there be no condition at all to show Chinese are very generous to the selfish Americans who actually barred Chinese from entering International Space Station? That would be an interesting question. And finally, cooperation in outer space starts on Earth, because not all space-related weaponry needs to be placed in space. There is a very interesting example of cooperation between China and Russia in 2009, because these two countries have established a notification of missile launching system. That is interesting in that it perfectly elaborates Ronald Reagan's theory, trust but verify. China and Russia trust each other, but still they have this kind of constitutive measures to verify. So could such a similar system be established between China and the United States? To my knowledge, this is being discussed, but I think we need to further explore this idea to have a kind of confidence-building measures on Earth for possible corporations in outer space.
Dr. Li Shouping, director of the Space Law Center at the China National Space Administration, pointed out that technologies are outpacing existing space law and it is time to develop the legal framework.
The existing legal regime is failing. It can't work in space area. It can't resolve this emerging problem caused by space technology. The existing space law can't prevent arms race in outer space. And also, it haven't prohibited weaponization in outer space. The existing space law can't provide regulations for the construction of small satellite constellation, and it can't provide rules for the exploration of space natural resources and so on. So that means today the current legal regime in space area can't work. There is no any organ which has binding force to coordinate and resolve this problem caused by space problem. So today, I think it's time for us, the states in India and the Pacific area, for us to recognize a concept of a community for shared future of mankind. Under the concept, I think win-win cooperation will be the only way to resolve the problem. So this is my first view. And the second one, I think, it is time for international community to develop and perfect existing international space law to satisfy the development of space technology. Since 1979, and in the past 40 years, actually, there is no any treaty adopted under the framework of United Nations. So it's time for international community to develop and perfect new legal regime, for example, about exploration of space natural resources, removal of space debris, prevention of arms race in outer space, and the construction of small satellite constellations.